T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dont'a Hightower, the Patriots Pro Bowl linebacker, a 3-time Super Bowl champion, is going to be opting out.
What? No!
I don't mean to sound cold about this, but you've just got to keep going. You got to proceed as if it's business as usual.
Dale Arnold.
Oh. That didn't take long.
The time on that thing to get out of the ballpark.
Rich Key.
It's rough, bro, to be honest. It's not just like one run, you know. It's a couple runs.
Dale and Keith, middays.
Lemon pepper aroma.
Tango bust a grape in a food fight and pour milk on cereal.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, broadcasting live from our Shaw's and Star Market studios. And let's just say, Rich, the start to the Red Sox season has been maybe a little bit less than people were expecting.
I mean, we knew that the rotation and the bullpen was bad before the season started. Even with Eduardo Rodriguez, it was bad. And then he goes down, and you don't know when he's going to return. And you're looking at it, you're like, well, this isn't very good. And you think about it, Eduardo Rodriguez, a couple of years ago, was the number 5 starter on the team and then would miss starts because he was hurt. And you're like, nah, no big deal. Now he's your ace. Like, he's your best guy in just a couple of years. And you trade away David Price. You don't sign Rick Porcello, which is fine. Chris Sale gets
hurt.
He got a
nice tribute video last night, though.
Porcello did.
Yeah.
He sure did.
For the three people who are in the stands.
It's one of the worst rotations you will ever see. Like, not just in baseball. I know that's been brought up. It's the worst staff in baseball. It's like, I think... And what's going to happen is it's going to get thrown off a little bit because at the end of the year, it's not going to be considered like a real season. So it's going to be hard to compare it to others. But I don't even know if it's hyperbole to say, take the 5 guys who end up starting the most games for the Red Sox and put their numbers up against anybody. I remember there was a Detroit Tigers rotation.
Yeah, that's right.
Wasn't it like the early 2000s that like every guy lost like 15 or more games? Like, they just kept trotting them out there, and they all got shelled. It was like Mike Moroth and like those type of guys. They
was
all
Dave
got hammered.
Dombrowski, the GM there, then?
No, I don't think so. I think he went in there and spent all the money and then got rid of all their prospects, and then that's how it kind of worked. But this rotation, it's almost not even a rotation. I mean, Matt Hall is starting tonight. That guy Osick started last night. Now, the one sort of maybe silver lining is Zach Godley threw 4 innings in relief.
And looked great.
Who?
He should probably be your starter. Zach Godley looked great. He's probably your second or third best pitcher. So he might end up starting, but what they have right now is...
He had nasty stuff, actually.
He has more of a track record than some of these other guys that they're throwing out there. But it's unbelievable because they have a pretty good offense. Now, we can get into some of the guys that are struggling, like Andrew Benintendi and Rafael Devers, but... Yeah. At least the lineup, that's more than a major league lineup. Like, there are a couple of studs in there, a couple of other guys that you hope can kind of break out. But the pitching staff is just, it's insane. It's so bad.
After the game, Xander Bogaerts sounded a little bit frustrated.
It's rough, bro, to be honest. You know, it's tough. It's not just like one run, you know. It's a couple runs, and then they just find a way to add on some more before we can kind of get something going, you know. And they kind of separated pretty quick by a couple of runs, and it gets tough, you know. This team is just built so good offensively, and we proved that we can come back, you know. We're capable of doing that, but just, I mean, if you got to score 8, 9, 10 runs every game, I think it honestly is a little tough.
That's a shot against the pitching staff,
100%.
I'm not saying he's wrong,
No, I know, but is that what you want, like your best player saying?
You're 5 games into the season, and your best player sounds like that about your pitching staff already?
Yeah, brutal. No, I don't like it either, and you're right. You could be thinking that, but as soon as the offense or the pitching staff, either way, like there's been years where there have been teams where, like the Mets, for example, have this unbelievable pitching, but they couldn't hit for a while, for the longest time. You know, last night they were hitting the crap out of it, but for the longest time they couldn't hit. They'd always have pitching, and as soon as you start calling out the other side, it's like, what are we doing? You know, if a pitcher ever said, well, you know, it's hard to, you know, win 1-0 all the time, it's the same thing that Bogaerts just did.
It wouldn't be bad if they'd score a run or two now and then, you know?
I also would like to know, and we hit it on it a little bit yesterday, but the decision to not play Xander Bogaerts in the second game of the season, was that him? Was that Renicky? Was that Heim Bloom? Who comes up with that? Because that's it's a terrible message.
I agree.
Every game counts as more. We, you know, 2.7 games, that's what everybody's saying. So call it 3 games. Every game is really the equivalent of 3. And after 1 game, you go in there the next day, and you definitely should have taken 2 out of 3 with Baltimore, maybe even swept them. If you're a competitive team, and maybe we're going to see that they're not, then Bogaerts has to be in the lineup the second day, and he's not. And that already feels like you're kind of setting the tone. It sort of feels like last year, Alex Cora and the Red Sox went to the West Coast open up the year, and they lost, and they were like, can you believe it? We had to open up on the West Coast. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to play there a couple times anyway, so you got it out of the way early. And I remember, like, weeks and weeks and weeks had gone by, and Cora was doing an interview with OMF, and I think it was like Fourier asked him, he's like, you know, anything you kind of wish you could do over from the beginning? And, you know, probably alluding to how you handled the pitchers in spring training. And his answer was not open the season on the road. And it just feels like it's more of that already with this team. And Xander Bogaerts, yeah, you get a day. You get a day off? Like, why? Why on earth? Day two. Can't play. I mean, that made no sense. And then they ended up putting him into the game. So it wasn't even like a full day off. It was just very confusing. And yes, the pitching staff is going to be bad. The offense is going to have to score a lot of runs. But it's also, they're not exactly in a position to be saying, hey, come on, pitchers. So after they scored 13 runs in the first game, they've scored 2, 4, and 4. So even if your pitching staff was good, it's not like they lost 10-8 the last 3 games and the offense has a real, real beef. I know they got behind early, but you're scoring 2, 3, 4 runs. That's not a great output.
So Tom Werner was on OMF yesterday. And don't worry, because they've got a handle on
it. I'm not worried at all.
They've got a handle on this because they know what's coming.
You guys had it right a couple of minutes ago. I mean, August 31st is an important date for us. You know, Heim is going to be looking at a lot of talent in the next month. And, you know, we'll figure out shortly before that, you know, which way we're going to move.
We did get Cashner.
So what do they got up their sleeve?
The August 31st trade deadline. That's the new trade deadline this year because of the different season.
Yeah. What are
we
doing?
Is this what they're going to sell? Is that what he's talking about? What they're going to get rid of?
That's so dangerous. And Wick Grosbeck himself got into trouble. You remember with the Celtics, and he kept promising fireworks, and then the fireworks didn't happen, and then he had to sort of like move the goalpost a little bit. And, you know, ultimately it worked out. Ultimately they signed some free agents, and ultimately they signed some or they drafted some really good players. But if you put that out there, now it's all right, let's wait till the trade deadline. So when the trade deadline comes and goes, and they sign or they trade for Andrew Cashner equivalent or do nothing, then what are you going to say? And oh, by the way, there's a lot of games between now and August 31st. Do you think you're going to be in it? Even with the expanded playoff rosters or playoff teams, you lost 2 out of 3 to Baltimore. You just got smacked around by the Mets in the first game. What makes us think that you're going to be in the mix to even make a move? It might be dumb to make a move in another month.
No, I said, if anything, they should be selling.
Right. Yeah, but let me ask you this, Dale. What are you selling?
Well, and the things that you could theoretically sell and get something for, I don't want to sell. Xander Bogaerts.
Right, no, Bogaerts.
Rafael Devers. I don't want to sell those.
Where are you right now on Andrew Benintendi?
I'm ready to move on.
Because I think I'm there with you. I think there was a lot of potential there. He really cooled off second half last season. It's only 4 games, but it's been nothing so far.
His career arc has gone down.
Yes, it kind of has. And I just feel like, you know, when you're still not paying him a lot, that's one thing. And you can put him out there and you can hope for the best. But eventually they're going to have to make a big-time decision on what do they want to do with him. And right now he does not feel like a guy who's worth the money.
The other thing to keep in mind, and we mentioned this earlier in the show as well, if the season gets called off before August 31st, then the luxury tax reset doesn't go into effect. And the Red Sox are in trouble if that happens.
Yeah, so they've
got to get to the 31st.
Yeah.
I mean, they desperately need. We were joking earlier about the Red Sox probably wouldn't mind if the season didn't finish, but they at least wanted to get past August 31st.
Yeah, in that case, right. It's just as far as setting your team up for the future. But, I mean, all these moves that they've made and the pitchers that they have brought in, and it's just one nameless, faceless guy after the next with an ERA, you know, approaching double digits. It's like, what is this? Like, what is the strategy? And it can't be, well, if, you know, we didn't realize Rodriguez was going to go down. It's like, yeah, that stinks. A lot of teams lose a guy, you know, a starter that's important to them, but it doesn't look like this. This is next level. And I think if Bogaerts is frustrated with how many runs the offense has to score now, like wait till it really starts to boil over.
Yeah, I think that they've got a lot of stuff that a lot of balls that they're going to keep juggling in the air. They know, I think they know, and I think they've known all, you know, going into this season, they didn't have the pitching to compete for a playoff spot, even with an expanded playoff field.
Right.
But they've got to get this. They've got to get this season over the August 31st finish line. They've got to get there.
All right. So that's got to be their one goal, which is sad. You know, the goal should be make the playoffs and see what happens. But now the goal is, hey, let's just push this far enough where we can reset the luxury tax. And I'm going to keep hammering the point that this team has no pitching at the major league level, not much pitching really to get excited about in the minor league level. And you just had an offseason where you traded away Mookie Betts, the second best player in baseball, and you included David Price in a salary dump, and you didn't get a pitcher in return. Now, it didn't have to be one of the Dodgers studs who's already at the major league level. That would have been sort of a pipe dream. But somebody, you could have gotten somebody that throws. And so even if Verdugo ends up being decent or Jeter Downsby ends up being decent down the road, how you neglected to bring in a pitcher in that deal makes zero sense.
I tweeted this out on Friday when I was watching the beginning of the game and they were introducing the entire roster. Never in my lifetime, going back to when I was a kid watching the Red Sox living up in Maine, never have I known fewer of the players
I know
who they were introducing.
I know. And I'm like, this is embarrassing. But this is my job to know all these guys.
And I didn't know half these guys.
No, it's all the pitchers, though. Like, right? All the outfielders are name guys, even the infielders. I mean, Su-Wei Lin's been here long enough.
Sure.
Like, we know all these guys. Jose Pereza, who they brought in.
Alex Verdugo, we know who he is.
Those are all guys. But it's the pitching staff. It's amazing when you go up and down, besides, you know, Barnes, Brazier, Eovaldi, a couple other guys, Workman.
Yep.
You're like, where do they find these guys? And they're not exactly diamonds in the rough. Like, each one's worse than the last. And think about it. Tonight is technically the number five starter. So the last four games were all guys that they thought were better than this guy. So what do you have in store tonight? Here comes Matt Hall. Like, oh, good Lord.
A couple of quick updates on the Miami Marlins situation. John Heyman tweeted out, Marlins star and leader Miguel Rojas, he's the guy who was undertaking the text chain about whether or not they were going to play. Miguel Rojas has tested positive. He leads the National League with a 700 batting average, 750 OBP, 1300 slug. As Heyman says, of course, half the team is positive. But one of the people who's positive is the guy who led the text chain that basically said, so let's play, okay? And they played, and he was apparently positive when he played.
So
Craig Mish, who covers the Marlins down there, and he was kind of on top of all this stuff when it was happening, he said the Marlins appear unlikely to play their scheduled games in Baltimore Wednesday or Thursday, waiting on next steps. Now, we've already told you they're supposed to go home for the weekend and host the Washington Nationals, and the Nationals have already said, we don't want to go down there. So they may not have games they can play at least until next week sometime.
It feels like more and more that you might just have to kick the Marlins out of the league. Like, I don't really see if teams...
For this year, right. We're not saying forever.
Actually, you know what, Dale? Now that I think about it, maybe forever. No, but for this season, There's no simple answer, obviously. And if you're going to try to get some sort of season to finish, and if you're not ready, if you're not sure when they can play, and I know they have a bunch of minor leaguers, but if nobody wants to play them, and now if all of a sudden they don't want to play in Miami, are they going to be able to find another home park? And then all the logistics that go into to that, like where are they going to go?
Half the guys who they're thinking about calling up from their farm team in Jupiter aren't even on the 40 man.
Yeah.
Which so I think all they these can hoops skip you gotta jump through just to get them involved.
So that part I think should be easier, but then again it's Major League Baseball, so maybe it'll be more of a hang up than it needs to be. But they should be able to work that out. But it's just a matter of, all right, where can you play and do you feel safe doing it? Do the guys on the team feel safe? How about the opponent? Is the opponent gonna get are they gonna have a say at all if they have to play the Marlins? And I also don't really understand how it would work. If you postpone 2 weeks worth of games for the Marlins, what do you guys just jump back in and pick up the rest of the season? Yeah. And then you play 40 games.
So the Marlins
games
are going to play 40 and everybody else is going to play 60.
Right.
Oh, well, and no, everybody else won't because the teams that the Marlins aren't playing against aren't going to be able to play those games either. But
right. So then all those teams are missing out. And it's one thing, again, the we're looking at the Marlins and we're like, well, they're not a playoff contender anyway. But the teams that they play are, or what if it happened to a team that was more of a contender? Like, what would the league do then? You know, if the Dodgers or the Yankees right now had 15 cases, are they willing to sort of pause them and then let them back in or kick them out? Or what's the appetite for that? But I don't know. You start piling up a bunch of missed and postponed games. I mean, you can't make the Marlins or their opponent play doubleheaders every day in August just to make up for all these July games they're missing.
I don't see how it's going to happen. And we even said this yesterday. I know Rob Manfred keeps whistling past the graveyard. Oh, no, this isn't necessarily a disaster scenario. Okay, well, it's kind of close, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm curious what is.
You've got 17 of your players who have tested positive, and you don't have enough guys to even bring in to replace them with.
See, I think they obviously had the idea of the player pool and the expanded rosters. They did all of that knowing that guys were going to test positive, right? Like you don't have a 30-man roster and you don't do the other stuff if you weren't afraid that somebody was going to test, or you'd at least have to isolate a guy for a couple days, maybe get more test results back or whatever it might be. But to then have half of a team's active roster test positive, and then the next opponent saying we don't want to go down there, and you're like, yeah, no, this is fine. This isn't doomsday. It's like, this, you're getting pretty close though. For Rob Manfred.
We mentioned that Miguel Rojas, the Marlins shortstop, has tested positive. Sunday at Citizens Bank Park, he went 3-for-4 with a homer and 4 runs batted in.
That's great.
apparently,
the corona boost.
Now, obviously, a lot of people who test positive are asymptomatic.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess he's one of those.
I guess, or that was his flu game right there.
But among the, you know, half the team that has now tested positive is their star.
Yeah.
And all he did was go 3-for-4 with a home run and 4 runs batted in. The last game that we saw him play.
Yeah, he leads the National League in batting average, OBP, slugging percentage, OPS, and OPS plus.
But other than that, how are things going?
Yeah, of course, yeah. He and you know the other half of his team are going to be sidelined at least for a couple of weeks at the least. If not the whole franchise has to sit out.
Now, he's going to be asymptomatic. Let's say that for the sake of our discussion only.
Yep.
He's asymptomatic. At some point, he will theoretically be able to pass a test. Like Soto claims, he's taken 6 tests since he tested positive, 3 from Major League Baseball and 3 from himself. But apparently, he hasn't passed the consecutive negative test thing.
Oh.
So it's like he's testing negative, then positive, then negative, then positive. I mean, that's what it sounds like is happening.
Yeah, so because what do they need? 3 in a row that clear you? So, I mean, I don't know. I assume these guys are all going to be out for a couple of weeks no matter what. And then from there, you hope they get their testing done at the end of that time. And then those that are healthy enough can get back out onto the field. But, yeah, I don't think Major League Baseball was prepared for this number of guys. I thought they kind of said, oh,
I'm
yeah,
not
one,
sure anybody
sure.
would. It would be like the NFL being prepared for, what, 25 guys?
Yeah. Yep. That's
testing.
That's the equivalent. But that's the thing is the NFL has to have that protocol ready to go. All right, if a team on Saturday tests positive or 25 guys test positive, like what do we do? Like, well, I'm guessing you don't play the game. Or if 25 guys test positive on Monday, all right, what's the next steps? How do you figure this out? They can't wait until it happens and then spend the next 48, 72 hours after that coming up with, all right, here's what we're going to do now. Makes no sense. You have time right now, so you need to figure out all of the stuff before the season begins.
And has Major League Baseball even considered the possibility, as is apparently the case, that a team just says, no, I'm not going there. Nope, not playing against them.
Yeah, and that's the huge thing with, again, why the bubble teams or the bubble sports have such a better chance. You don't deal with that. You know, if a team tests positive, it's, you're like, all right, you guys are done, or you kind of figure that out. But it's not, you don't take that risk of getting into the plane, going to a certain area, doing this or whatever. That those two, baseball and football, have much bigger hurdles to jump over. And it didn't even take a weekend to have a team get just riddled with guys getting it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It seems like since sports shut down in the middle of March, we've gone through every list you can possibly go through. You know, the 50 greatest running backs whose name starts with R. And mm-hmm. I mean,
that was a good day.
Yeah, it was a good one. So The Athletic,
Roger Craig,
has got the 2020 quarterback tiers.
Here we go. Quarterback tiers. Get them out. Get them ready, Shime. Get your list out.
Spoiler alert.
Get the tube out.
Let's go.
Spoiler alert. Patrick Mahomes is still in the top tier. I'm just saying.
He deserves to be.
Well, probably.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
So we mentioned there's been a lot of lists and rankings and a whole lot of that going on really since the middle of March when sports as we knew it disappeared, and it's slowly trickling back in, but we're still getting a few of these, you know, what do you think is this? What do you think is that? The Athletic wanted to figure out the top tiers for quarterbacks in the National Football League, and what they did was they supposedly asked 50 NFL coaches and evaluators how they would rank these guys in a tier from 1 to 5. And, you know, no spoiler alert here for you. Patrick Mahomes got all 50 of his tier 1 votes. Nobody put him in tier 2 or anything else. 50 out of 50 said, yeah, he's a tier 1 quarterback.
Good.
And
good.
How could he not be?
That makes sense.
And so then the question becomes, you know, where do your quarterbacks fit in? And I got to be honest with you, I don't know the exact timetable of when they did this, but you know, I'm you know, just dancing through this thing here real quickly.
Yeah.
And your top rated quarterback is at number 34, and that's Jared Stidham.
No Cam.
No. Yeah.
So that was a little bit. That must have been a little bit earlier, because I would say he would be much, much higher.
A little premature Twitterization or polarization here, but here are your tiers. Tier one. You know, these are easy. Patrick Mahomes is a tier one quarterback. They've got Russell Wilson, who got 50 tier one votes. Tier one quarterback.
Yeah, he should.
Aaron Rodgers is a tier one quarterback. He's number 3.
So is he still a tier one quarterback?
No, I don't think he is.
I don't think Rodgers is. I think Rodgers
is
good.
He got 46 tier one votes, 4 tier two votes.
And I think the 4 might be more onto something here.
Yeah.
I think he's still good. I think he's still a guy that, you know, they won a bunch of games last year, but they were like the Patriots equivalent of the NFC. I don't know how they did it, smoke and mirrors or whatever, but they weren't very good. And you can make excuses for the talent around them, and especially Devontae Adams missed a bunch of games. But I don't know. I think I don't think it's crazy to say guys like Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers are all not as good as they were a few years ago. They're all still good. You can win with all 3 of them, but they're just not as good as they were.
Well, there are 5 tier one quarterbacks. The 3 we've given you so far,
yep,
followed by Drew Brees at number 4.
Nope.
Deshaun Watson at number 5.
Yes.
That's it.
Those
are your tier one quarterbacks.
So that's kind of surprising. And I think, so for me, I would go Mahomes, Wilson, Watson would be my top. They'd probably be on a tier. Lamar Jackson probably deserves to be on that tier, but I know I'm just kind of waiting for either the league to catch up with him or for him to not be, you know, able to make people look so dumb running the football. I don't know. I'm curious how long that's going to last. But he's certainly better than Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, at least right now,
This list is the perfect example why NFL executives,
yeah,
and a lot of coaches are still really dumb, and it's infuriating.
Yeah, because who did this list again? Who came up with it?
The Athletic put it together, but it
coaches
was
coaches and evaluators,
coaches,
right?
And yeah, evaluators in the NFL.
Well, no, they might want to reevaluate whatever they're doing with their lives.
You're 100% right. I mean, you look at so many times where they give these huge contracts to these quarterbacks that ended up being terrible, and so they're obviously voting in this and everything else. So, yeah, I mean, you could even – if you were really had, like, a high bar for the position, you could say Mahomes and Wilson are in one bracket.
And then drop down.
And then everybody else. Yeah. I like Watson a lot, but maybe I like him too much. And so the Mahomes and Wilson have also proven it in the playoffs and everything else. So they might very well be on their own tier. Like, for many years, it was Brady – and Manning, and then it was kind of Brady and Rodgers, or Brady and Breeze and Rodgers. Now it's probably the league is Mahomes Wilson, at least for the next handful of seasons.
They should have turned it into three tiers. It's Mahomes and Wilson in one,
yeah.
Watson and Jackson in another, and then Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze in the I'm old but still have the possibility of being really good tier.
Yeah,
and then thrown Ben Roethlisberger out a window.
Oh, toss him out. Toss him out altogether.
So a tier two quarterback is described as. A tier two quarterback can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situations in doses and or possess other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above tier three. He has a hole or two in his game.
Oh, okay.
The number one tier two quarterback, checking in at number six, is Tom Brady. He was a tier one quarterback a year ago. He's a tier two quarterback this year, and frankly... I'm kind of with that.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think he is a tier two quarterback, and when you surround him with not a lot of talent, it's going to look like it did last year. But if you surround him with a lot of talent, it could look great. Like, if you're at that level, and you know, any tier two quarterback who's playing with Evans and Godwin and Gronk and those guys are probably going to put up great numbers. So I'm okay with that. I think that makes sense.
Number seven on their list is Lamar Jackson.
He's just a tough guy to figure out. I think I could have you could have him as high as four. You could have him as low as like eight. Like he had an unbelievable season, and then the playoffs hit him. And
by the way, he was a tier four quarterback in 2019.
Oh wow,
he's all the way up to tier two this year.
Yeah, how many tiers are there again? Five.
Five.
Okay.
Like he could easily be as high as three here. I think three seven overall. Is, I think yeah. is seven is too low, but. I think he deserves to be right with Deshaun Watson, like in that category.
I think as much as like Brady is interesting to watch, like of all the quarterbacks and what they're going to do this year, Brady being with the Bucs is clearly number one, but just how Lamar follows up his MVP season to me is probably number two.
Number eight is Ben Roethlisberger.
Way, way too high.
What he is was, up he with
was
all
tier,
these people?
He was tier one a year ago.
He was never tier one.
I'm just saying that's what he
I know,
he
I know,
was.
I know, I know. They like, I don't know.
He had 11 tier one votes, 34 tier two, 5 tier three.
So there's 11 coaches or evaluators or executives out there that still think Roethlisberger is a tier one quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know who they are.
Literally.
Identify yourself.
Ben Roethlisberger is the veteran edition of Jameis Winston. He throws a million times for a million touchdowns and a million interceptions, and he's never going to win another thing in his life.
Yeah,
it is infuriating to me to see people put Ben Roethlisberger on this pedestal when he stinks. He's not going to even last 5 games.
I think that's probably fair. I don't know. I don't understand the love for Ben Roethlisberger. I really don't.
Number nine is Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, again, he's a guy that I think he's got more left in the tank if he's able to stay healthy. So that's a little high for me, but I think that's okay.
Number 10 is Matt Ryan.
He's a tricky guy to figure out because he puts up big numbers all the time. But do you really want that guy? Do you feel like you're going to be able to win with Matt Ryan? And I would say no. They had the 1 year where obviously they were able to get to the Super Bowl, and then combination of him, combination of Kyle Shanahan, you know, coaching the second half with his hands around his neck, and next thing you know, they lose, and that still sticks out to me. Now, also hard to weigh him. He plays all his game or almost all of his games indoors, and he's had Julio Jones for like his whole career. So guys are probably going to put up pretty good numbers with that. Doesn't throw a lot of picks, which you like, but and I know he won an MVP, but I don't know. He's I guess a top 10 quarterback maybe by default just because there's not enough good ones in the league.
We'll be hitting some others who aren't top 10 soon.
All right.
Number 11 is Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I actually like Wentz. I don't think he has a ton of talent around him. Zach Ertz is good, but the receivers aren't, and he's still, when healthy, he's productive.
John, cue the tubas. Number 12 is Dak Prescott.
Here he comes. Why is it too low, Shime?
He's way too low. He should be... He's tier two. I agree he's tier two.
Okay.
He's not in the tier one. Don't worry, I'm not going to try and defend that.
Thank you very
much. But he should be more towards the top of tier two. He should be above... First of all, you can agree that he should be above Ben Roethlisberger.
Of course I do.
I think he should be right at the top of this group with Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Dak. I think Dak should be right at the top, but they're all in the same group. And I can understand people's argument for everybody, but I think Dak should be at the top of that.
Number 13 is Philip Rivers.
That's too high for me. Yeah. I don't like Philip Rivers that
way
much.
Way too high.
Yeah, I don't. He had a bad year, and he doesn't have the excuse of that Brady has with the weapons. He had Keenan Allen. He had Mike Williams. He had two tight ends. He had two backs.
You want to know what it is? All these coaches and evaluators,
they love the old
this,
guys.
Yeah, this nostalgia that these old guys are still going to be the best they were like when they were in their prime, and it's not going to happen.
But at least Roethlisberger won Super Bowls. Rivers never won anything, and yet they still love him.
He went 14-2 and got his head coach fired.
He's the final tier two quarterback. We move now to tier three, and we'll go through these a little quickly here because we're running out of time. But the tier three quarterbacks, number 14 is Kyler Murray.
I mean, I guess he was rookie of the year. I'd probably have him closer with that group at the bottom of tier two, but I guess three is fine. Yeah. He can sneak up on you that way.
Number 15 is Kirk Cousins.
There was some buzz last year. There was some MVP buzz for Kirk Cousins. Much higher.
Considered for tier two.
Kirk Cousins I like better than even Stafford.
There are still names missing you'll probably recognize.
Uh-huh.
Number 16 is Jared Goff.
Too high. He's a product of complete product of the system.
Number 17 is Jimmy Garoppolo.
You know what? I think that's right.
Feels great, baby.
I think that's right.
In the NFL's top 100 list, checked in at number 43.
Way too high. The 43rd best player in the NFL is Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
No, I know that's what they said. I don't believe that. 17th quarterback. That sounds right. He's just outside the top half of the league. I agree with that completely. Dead on 17.
Number 18, Ryan Tannehill.
I like Tannehill more. I like him more.
I knew I liked you, Keith.
He's best quarterback rating in the NFL last year.
He should
year.
Be the top of tier three.
Yeah, I like that. Leading
All
the
pushing,
way.
Pushing the bottom of tier two, top of tier three.
I have to correct myself.
Oh, no.
Number 19, it was in the wrong uniform. That's why I didn't recognize it. Cam Newton.
Yeah, that's a little low for my liking. That's more like Andy Hart has him like 22.
The cut line is, I don't think he's Superman anymore.
Oh, boo.
I am Cam.
No, hold on, Cecil, you're not. You are Cecil. You're not Cam. You're confusing people. So I have Cam much higher, but I am also a Patriots fan, and I will fully admit that.
They've got the 19th best quarterback in the NFL preparing to lead them. Number 20 is Derek Carr.
Fine. Maybe slightly high, but that's fine.
Number 21, Baker Mayfield.
Get that guy. Give him a chance. What's he doing down there? He's better than that.
That's fine.
Where'd they have Josh Allen?
Number 22 is Josh Allen.
He's
right after Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he's an interesting one.
Number 23 is Teddy Bridgewater.
Fine.
Bridgewater is not going to win you any games.
Okay, but
he's not going to lose you any games either.
Right.
Well, just one of the two. Number 24 is Sam Darnold.
Fine.
Meh.
Maybe a little high.
Number 25. Yeah, number 25 is Daniel Jones.
Should be higher.
By the end of the year, he will be.
He might.
Right now,
he should be pushing Derek Carr out of that.
Oh, my God. Now we got a Daniel Jones defender now, too? This guy just loves the NFC.
I don't think he's great, but I think he's pretty good.
All right, I'll wrap up the list here. Number 26, Nick Foles. Then we go to tier 4. Number 27, Marcus Mariota. Number 28, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Number 29, Tyrod Taylor. 30, Drew Lock.
Oh, that's way too low for my guy Locke.
30 tied with Drew Locke is Gardner Minshew. 32, Mitch Trubisky.
Oof.
33, Dwayne Haskins. 34, Jarrett Stidham.
Yay!
35, Kyle Allen. He's at the end of the list.
All right.
If you're below Mitchell Trubisky on any list, you should
Seal
not
it.
Be
Pack
happy.
It in. Change positions, maybe. It's not too late.
Opt out.
Or just opt
Or one of those. Well,
maybe you will.
All right, what else you got? It's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Hey, before we get to a couple of things that we missed earlier, as further proof that we're convinced that Major League Baseball is making this up as they go along, Rich?
Yes.
Ken Rosenthal tweeted out, one scenario under discussion, according to source with direct knowledge. The Marlins and Phillies would quarantine for an undetermined period. The Yankees would travel to Baltimore and play the Orioles on Wednesday and Thursday. The Marlins and Phillies would try to make up postponed games later.
This is a mess.
They are.
It's an absolute mess.
And by the way, the lead headline on MLB.com right now is, what is happening here?
Yeah.
MLB.com.
They don't know. Yeah, they don't know. So I guess it's the best we can come up with. We don't know what's going on. Can anybody help us? We're lost. Not good.
We just don't know what to do. Nope. All right, couple of stories we didn't get to earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Well, a moment from last night's Red Sox game. Again, the Red Sox, they don't have a great squad this year, Dale, at least in the early going. It doesn't appear to be. But one of the good news is you can watch star players on the other team. So Pete Alonso was in town. He of the 53 Yaya Ding Dongs a year ago and a Rookie of the Year award. He's digging in, and I don't know if anybody was as impressed with his home run as Dennis Eckersley.
Oh, rockets that one. Look at this one. Oh. A searing line drive out of here. My goodness.
Oh.
What was the...
That didn't take long,
the
did it?
Time on that thing to get out of the ballpark. Yaya Ding
Dong. Eck almost passed out there listening to that thing. Holy smokes. That was an absolute rocket blast.
Seed.
That guy is incredible. Pete Alonso is the man. And that thing left real quick. Yeah. That was pretty much everybody's reaction to it. You almost had to just, like, tip your cap. And so you'll get Pete Alonso for the next three games. Tonight at Fenway, then two in New York as they wrap up that home-and-home series. But at least you get Pete Alonso out there. You can watch him.
What else you got?
By the way, you want to go even crazier down the stupid highway? Nationals players were told within the last few minutes to stay in their hotels and apartments early this afternoon due to a possible active shooter situation by Nationals Park.
I mean,
my God, 2020 is just undefeated, isn't it?
It sure is.
All right, John, go ahead.
Big Senate race in Massachusetts, Keith. I know you've been following this one closely.
Every step of the way.
Big watershed moment yesterday as well when Joe Kennedy's team ripped Ed Markey's team for putting out a map of Massachusetts for not including the towns of Enfield, Prescott, and Dana.
Turns out
those towns have not existed for 80 years because they were raised to build the Quabbin Reservoir that feeds, gives drinking water to millions of people.
Classic.
They're still there. They're just underwater. That's all.
Include them on the map. Come on. What, do you have no sense of history?
Come on.
It's like Atlantis.
It's very similar to Atlantis.
What else you got?
All right, I'll do a quick one here. David Pasternak did a Zoom teleconference today and met with the media for the first time since they brought everybody back. His quarantine's over. He was on the stage with Charlie Coyle. Charlie Coyle had the easiest press conference ever. Everybody just wanted to talk to David Pasternak.
Yeah, for sure.
But David Pasternak wanted to end the press conference with his own question.
Thanks very much, Charlie and David.
Who has the bigger bicep in TV? That's why I'm hiding mine.
David Pasternak said, thanks. Who has the bigger biceps on TV?
Who has the bigger bicep in TV?
Who do you think? I mean,
Charlie Coyle said that's why I'm hiding mine. No, David Pasternak is jacked.
Oh, they were talking. I thought they meant amongst TV members.
No. Just those two guys. What's the bigger biceps? And Charlie Coyle said that's why I'm hiding mine.
Oh my God, I'd take 10.
Pasternak was rocking a nice pink T-shirt too, so it was really
popping.
His biceps were popping.
I would say Ted Johnson on NBC Sports Boston would probably be the answer.
No, that might be the one. Actually,
that would probably be the answer. But
all right, we underplayed this because it's Tuesday, and you know what? We forgot to promote
it's
all
snuck
afternoon.
Up on everybody. We're losing track of days of the week, and it's Karaoke Tuesday, and I'm always fascinated to know what Shyam has up his sleeve because he usually goes pretty topical.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the big topics this week, one of the major topics is the Miami Marlins.
And huge story.
The team has just been basically infected with COVID, unfortunately.
Right.
And so I chose to do Barracuda by heart today.
Oh, nice.
They're different fish.
But
it's not even the same fish.
But I love this song.
It's a good track, though. I'm fascinated. It's close enough, I guess.
Do you have a song about a marlin?
I don't.
All right.
So you got me there.
I want to hear Nancy Wilson's voice as channeled by Shyam.
So this ain't the end. I saw you again.
He doesn't even try to sell like her. Hey, if you're going to do a cover, you should do your own spin on it. That's what we have right now.
This is forever.
No, that ain't it.
What's on the show tomorrow? That
ain't Tails it. Tails never fails.
Tails never fails. That's true.
You're lying so low in the weeds.
It's like a rock version.
I bet
of
you're gonna ambush me. You'd have me down, 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 down on my knees.
Hit it, Shyam.
Woo! Barracuda.
Oh, yes. I don't think the song choice helped you here, but...
Well, the Marlins, the Barracuda, a lot of overlap there. They're cousins. Right. They're fish cousins.
It's all about the ooh, Dale.
Ooh.
We got to get out of here. Believe me, no, we really got to get out of here. I think we've got Wiggy with us tomorrow.
Wiggy and, Wednesday.
And we'll talk with him. OMF's coming up next. Goodbye.
Yes, sir. Whisper game. And the real thing don't do the trick. You better make up something real quick. Ooh, Barracuda.
So I don't think I've done anything wrong, you know.
That's all, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.